It is now my pleasure to ask our brother Jamie Myron to come forward and give us our words of exhortation.
Good morning, my beloved brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ, especially at this time, our new brother and sister, Nick and Marissa. Yesterday was a wondrous occasion. There was some 95 people huddled together on a little pathway at the lake with umbrellas and hoodies on because it was raining and it was dark and it was cold. And this morning, the sun is breaking through. And that's not bad timing. I look at it as that was Marlissa and Nick saying goodbye to the cold, dreary, damp ways of this world. And today they're being welcomed into fellowship and into this family. And the sun is coming out. But there's also some clouds looming. The world is never too far away. I first would like to thank our brother Clyde, who was scheduled to exhort, for switching with me. I know that he was not given much notice, and I know that he would have already put a lot of time and effort into it, but I am very thankful. The kids came to me two Sundays ago after their letters were written. I was in the garage and they came up to me and stood beside me, both with this smirk on their face as if they were little children who just did something naughty. And I turned to them, I said, what did you do? And they asked if I would give the exhortation this weekend, and I told them of course I would. I would be honored. And then they left and I realized the gravity of the situation. This will be a part of their walk in the truth for the rest of their lives. And I went from being humbled to being nervous. But this is a joyous day, and I will try to be light and positive. This exhortation will be aimed mostly at Marlissa and Kent, or Marlissa and Nick. But I hope and pray that every one of us can gain something from this. I had Luke chapter 12 read this morning because our Lord Jesus' words to two young members far surpass anything that I may be able to come up with. But I will attempt to give some words of encouragement and hopefully some life lessons that you can take with you on your journey towards the kingdom. Now, this is not the first step. This baptism, the first step in your walk in the truth was the realizing that there is a God and that what he has to offer is far greater than what anything that this world has to offer. And there's examples of our real lives in this world that is likened to our lives in the truth. As we grow from being a child to a certain age, there's a common question. Why? That is a dreaded question to all parents. You can answer it for so long, but at about the 10th time in a row, it becomes very difficult to answer that question, and usually the answer becomes, because I said so. And then just a few short years later, that why becomes, I know. And then anyone who has raised children knows that eventually they know more than you. And prayerfully, if things go well, as time goes on, that evens out. And the maturity happens. And then the listening and the actual asking for advice begins. Now, another example is that when we're young, girls are gross and boys are smelly. And as we grow, that opinion changes. And then at an appropriate age, the idea of dating comes in. And now the question of who do we date? We've all had our heart flutters. We've all had our crushes. We all have had people that we're attracted to. But as it turns out, they're not always the best people for us. But what really works is someone that we get along with, someone that we can trust, and most importantly, someone that we can be ourselves with. And that right person who grows with us to grow and to know us even more than we know ourselves. But dating can be a struggle, because now you have to be mindful of someone else. You have to think about them. You can't just go out with your friends on a Saturday night without letting the person that you're dating know that you have alternate plans. You can't just leave them sitting, waiting for that call. And if things progress properly, then comes the engagement. Now you're planning the wedding. You're planning your future. You're planning where you're going to live, if you're going to have children, what your dreams and aspirations are, what decorations are going to be at the wedding. That's when you learn what is important to your partner becomes more important to you. You learn to compromise. You learn to understand and to respect one another. Then the marriage. As Marlissa and Nick know, that's when things get real. No longer can you go your separate ways at the end of the night to your own homes. You're there with each other, learning to cohabitate, to take time and patience, and to learn how to be with one another all the time. No longer can you go out with your friends on Saturday night and just mention it or inform your partner. You now ask if it's okay. Do we have plans? Do you mind if? And some find out the hard way. But eventually, that becomes second nature. It is the respect of one another. You would never think of saying yes or making plans without discussing it with your spouse, because you two have become one flesh. Then, kids come into the picture, and that very quickly realizes that your life is no longer yours. Sleep is no longer a nightly thing. I saw Brother Ryland last month, and I sarcastically said to him, "Good morning, it's nice to see that you dressed up for a meeting." And with a trodden down look, he just simply said, "Baby stuff. I can't wear anything nice anymore." That's not the Ryland of 5 years ago, but that is now a mature man who has his priorities in order. He comes last, his children, his wife, then himself. That is the order of family life. Now, whatever chores need to be done, they have to get done. Young parents share the responsibility. No one is greater. No one is better. And as we grow as a family, the chores often change. And as well, depending on different circumstances. And all this does pertain, and all this pertains to us as non-married single people who are not parents. Our chores and our responsibilities throughout our lives change as well. So how does any of this be like our walk in the truth? Well, being raised in the truth or a religious home, we first listen and do what we are taught and told. And then sometimes we begin to question why. Why do we have to go to Sunday school? Why do we have to go to CYC? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And then it becomes, I know, without really listening. But then we know and we become aware and we look at things and then we grow to realize what is right and what is true. And then we ourselves are humbled. Maybe you didn't grow up in the truth or a religious home and you have had no need of God or religion in your life. But then we get to the point where something is missing. And we begin to think that maybe I should look into this thing about God. And we begin to look. And some religions are really appealing. You don't have to do anything. except sit there and say, I believe and I welcome Jesus into my heart. And from there on, you're saved. Very superficial, very shallow. And some don't have many rules, merely guidelines that you may or may not have to follow. There is no accountability. There is no responsibility. There is also no depth. And that is like going out with your friends on a Saturday night and not informing the person that you're dating, just leaving them stranded, waiting for the call. That's part of the dating process for people who are looking for the truth. And then they find the truth, and it is full of reliability. It is friendly. It is caring. It is everything that you've been looking for. Now you realize that this is where you belong. And just like engagement, you now begin taking classes to really make sure that this is where you fit, to really make sure that this is going to work. And then comes the baptism, which is very akin to marriage. Not the first step, but a very major step for the rest of your lives. And I know that the merits to Jesus, as this ecclesia, will come in judgment. But for this, we'll look at it as a young married couple finding their way through life and now taking this very important step. You will fall. You will disappoint. And anyone here who is baptized will say how quickly after their baptism, even though how joyous and wonderful it made us feel, how quickly we sinned, how quickly we were humbled. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you were turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel. How quickly fallen away. I feel that God allows us to fall so quickly so that we realize that this is not a once and done. This is a continual working, a continual moving forward, that we must work at it just as a marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Just as the two of you did at your wedding, you both now are one flesh, and if you are to be the bride of Christ, you too must become one flesh with our Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Therefore, this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Jesus and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. If we are to be the bride of Christ, then we need to be as one flesh with him, loving him more than our own selves. How does this happen? Well, just like in marriage, where you communicate with one another, and that love grows, and you know what that person wants. You don't assume, you don't guess. And that only comes with communication. And that comes by reading our Bible daily. Otherwise, things will get confused. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all gladness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few were Greeks, prominent women, as well as men. If we now just flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. It's not difficult. It's not hard to understand. It just takes a little bit of time and effort and input. Without daily input, we can be swayed. And plus, if you're recently married, and you may have a little disagreement here or there, it is really hard to stay mad when you read the scripture together. Pray daily to our Father in heaven. It is your way of communicating with him. Just like when you leave the house, you say, I love you. You're always in contact. Just communicate with him as you communicate with your spouse. For he has called you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He has a plan for both of you. What that is, I do not know. Only time will tell us. And most likely, it will change over the years. And just like our family duties change, if one person, for example, does the cooking, that's great. But if that person gets sick or injured and that prohibits them from cooking, the other needs to step up and fill in. And that is the same in the truth. You will start out with small responsibilities, and then that may or may not grow into larger responsibilities. But we always have to remember that whatever task we do, we are not judged on what we do, but how we do it. Being helpful and being of pure heart, being a part of this body in whatever manner is required, that is what is asked of us first and foremost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members are of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves nor free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again if the head to the feet, that I have no need of you. No much rather than those members of the body which seem to be weaker or necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. And if we now go to, just flip over the page to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? We all have our own place, and it will change over time. The world sees status. It sees position. But that is not what God sees. God has called us all. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the throne. We always must remember that. Sister Judy is back in Newfoundland. I know I said that wrong, but and she's caring for her father. And she has a lot on her plate with family issues at this time. But she reached out after Bonnie had her injury to find out how she was doing. She asked me how I was doing having my mother live at home with me again. She texted this morning to make sure that I gave a hug to her new brother and sister. That is what being a brother and a sister is. Knowing and caring for one another, even when we are overwhelmed with our own lives. It is such a great example, one that we should all look towards. It is more important than any other job here to simply be a loving, caring brother and sister. Many of the words that I say here this morning will be forgotten by next Sunday. But knowing that we have fellowship with hearts to keep and to cultivate, that lasts for all, forever. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience and in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. In Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, knowing that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures all generations. Serve with gladness. Never think of it as a burden. It can be if we let the world in. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember always that our Lord Jesus died for our sins, a horrible death, but he did it with joy and with love in his heart. How can we complain about any chore that we have? Jesus healed many people, and to most he said, go thy way. To some he had to go and go unto the priest and perform the cleansing duties. And some he said, go and tell no one. And some he said, go, tell, preach, show. One example that stands out to me is in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stood still and commanded that he be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said unto him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus on the road. He was healed, and his way from there on was to follow Jesus on the road, having cast away his garment. We need to follow Jesus on that road through reading this book daily. And that is the most important thing, to always remember that we have been called by God to follow his son's footsteps. And that road leads to the kingdom. We cannot bring the world with us into the kingdom. It doesn't fit. And I think that's why Jesus, when he told his disciples to go out and preach, he told them not to bring an extra coat, not to bring an extra bag. Because those are worldly things that we can concern ourselves with and can burden us down. Blind Bartimaeus, he knew that, casting his cloak aside and simply following Jesus. Luke chapter 6. And verse 38. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will it be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, can the blind lead the blind? Or will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but every one who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And they who do look at the speck, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the plank that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, but when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. This teaches us to do, to enrich ourselves, to do what God instructs us to do, not being concerned with issues that others might have, being there for them, but first we must purify ourselves. Jonah did not want to do what Jesus or what God told him to. Moses did not want to, but they both did, as God had commanded them. God will guide our lives to do what he wants, if we allow that. But the only way we will know what God wants from us is to communicate with him, to know what his scripture says, to listen to him, to pray unto him. This is a gift, but it can be taken away. My grandmother never gave anything. She would loan. That way, if you did not care for something the way that she thought was appropriate, she would take it back. We need to realize that with God. Our lives are his, simply on loan to us. And if we do not do what is appropriate, he can and will take it away from us. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Just a few more. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. And so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread shall live forever. Luke chapter 12 and verse 30. Luke 12, verse 30. I almost read the wrong verse. There we go. Luke chapter 12, verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, but your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Life and the truth is a gift. The sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ washes away the sins. Both of you has answered the call. Your journey has begun. May your hearts always focus on our Father and His words. May you, may all of us prosper in the truth. May we all grow in wisdom and understanding, that the Lord's death may not be in vain, and that one day we may hear these words: Come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.